rolling thunder, pouring rain, coming on like a hurricane. Hot John's LA back after 2 week hiatus. With me, Joe Halt.
How you doing?
Rolling thunder himself.
Thank you for having me.
I'm just gonna hit cotton. Any type of cotton I can find. All right, and then one more. For the hell of it. No, it's a howl. That's a wolf howl. No, booze is saved for Ingles, Brian Ingles. We're not booing you yet.
All right, yet.
Yet is a key phrase because I know you want to talk about the Masters and stuff, trying to force your golf agenda on this football show.
I was going to settle for college basketball, but.
That might get a little college basketball. This is a football first show, Joe Holt.
Football first.
That's why it's called Hot Yards LA. It's not called Hot Balls LA.
That'd be weird.
Hot Hoops LA. Yeah, Hot Balls LA would be a weird name. Regardless, who needs to talk about basketball when you got Johnny Manziel getting out of rehab? Again.
Yeah.
The thing with Johnny Manziel, I said, hey, Johnny, I got distracted.
He got out of rehab, didn't he?
2 months in rehab in Cleveland in the winter. He's going to need rehab to get a freaking over his rehab. Why would you go to rehab in Cleveland? Granted, I know he's playing there. But my God, I just watched an infomercial on a Sunday afternoon about these rehab facilities in Malibu. When did he come out there?
I think he wanted to stay close to his home base. I think maybe the idea that we did a podcast on Superior Fandom with a buddy of mine, Cleveland Jeff, and his theory was he ended up going to rehab because LeBron told him to. As you may or may not know, Rich Paul and the LeBron camp handles all of Johnny Manziel's marketing. So I think staying in Cleveland was just the way to stay close to home and have a leash on him and protect the assets, if you will.
Fuck,
I say good move.
How depressing would it be to be in rehab in Cleveland, especially during this winter time?
How depressing would it be to be in Cleveland?
Period.
I mean, you know what I mean?
I still think, even though everyone's saying, oh, they're moving on without him, I still think in the back of the head they're hoping he's going to work out. Because why else would they bring Jake McNown in?
Well, why wouldn't you at least hope that he's going to pan out? I mean, you spent a first-round draft pick on the guy. I mean, you don't really want to give up on the dude. And I'm not saying that it will or won't work, but you typically don't want to give up on a first-round draft pick after a year, do you?
Everybody who knows anything, including myself.
You know stuff?
Manziel's got the talent. He really does. Obviously something was up for him. And everyone likes to point that he's too small. That's bullshit. When has there ever been a quarterback who was just too small to play? Name one. Don't even say Doug Flutie. Doug Flutie had a hell of a career when given the opportunity to play. I would guarantee you Johnny Manziel's as big as Russell Wilson, as tall as Russell Wilson.
I think he's good enough to play. I don't know if Cleveland gave him anybody to throw the ball to. And, I mean, they signed – who did they sign this year? Dwayne Bowe and somebody else. Brian Hartline.
Dwayne Bowe promising to take Cleveland to the next level. The proverbial next level. People love to throw out everything.
Are we sure he's not just going to smoke weed with Josh Gordon, or is it too soon to say stuff like that?
I think Josh Gordon's out. I think he's done, isn't he?
Is he done?
I think he's going to be. How many times has he been busted?
Twice.
Too bad. Freaking freakish talent, too.
Yeah. Offer weed, too. Either that's a really dumb thing to get busted for or a really dumb rule to have, and I'm not sure which side.
You go back and forth on
that. I'm not sure which side of that I stand on, but either way, it's either a really dumb problem to get busted for or a really dumb rule.
Well, here's the deal. It's super easy to not get caught. Aaron Hernandez proved that. They say Aaron Hernandez was ripping blunts in the parking lot before and after practice, and he never got caught for it. I guess the way it works, in my rudimentary understanding of it, is they tell you 30 days before you're going to get tested.
If they tell you that and you get caught, you're a fucking idiot.
Right, exactly. So it really kind of, it's not really the weed problem of it. It's just you're showing how stupid you are that you can't even get away with doing it.
Sure enough.
Oh, man. Speaking of which, I ate a pot brownie last night and went to the casino, Sam Manuel.
Oh, danger, Will Robinson.
You know, and it's one of those things where I'm not really a big fan of edibles. I only do them maybe once or twice a year if somebody gives them to me. And you really don't know how much to eat. And I ate the whole thing. And I swear, man, it was like Fear and Loathing in San Bernardino type shit. I really, at one point, it was great because, you know, I'm my girlfriend who's not listening to the show because I refuse to tell her the link. Not listening, but she didn't know her and her friend.
Didn't tell me the link either, don't worry.
Her and her friend had no idea I was, you know, basically tripping almost. Just sitting there walking around the casino of San Bernardino with all these zombies on a Saturday night. Lost $100 in like 30 minutes and just quit.
It's all right.
Just sat down and watched the Frozen Four. Providence College, oh, you don't like hockey.
Hey, can I say one thing?
I don't
like hockey, but, like, you're a Boston guy. Do we not feel bad for that Boston goalie?
Who kicked in the...
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
I was secretly pulling for Providence, to be honest with you. I almost went to Providence College. Providence is an awesome city. It's like, there's not a lot of rules there. It's almost like mafioso land, especially when it comes to strip clubs and things of this nature.
Bitchin'.
Are you a strip club fan, Joe Holt?
No.
Why not?
I have an interesting strip club story. Do you want me to go there?
Sure, if it's less than 10 minutes.
Yes, way less than that. So on my 27th birthday, this was 2 years ago, Brian Murphy, a friend of our friend James Lurkey, and our other friend Marco, they decided to roll me out to an establishment of sorts. And we stayed there for 45 minutes, and apparently we were spending too much money and getting too hammered. And it was time to go home. And they bought me a lap dance or what have you. And apparently while this was going on, they were putting beers in my backpack to sneak out of the club. I guess because that's what you do when you leave a strip club and you're too drunk. And I don't know. And anyway, I get home and I forget that I'm still tied into my wheelchair. And I try to get in bed and I fall flat on my face in my wheelchair still and end up laying on the ground. And that's how I wake up the next morning. And I wake up and I find the beer still in my backpack from the strip club the night before. So short story long and moral of the story is Handicap Joe's got to stay out of the strip club because none of it, it's just not a good look for anybody involved.
I was reading a thing that Stephen Hawking is a huge strip club connoisseur, that he's in the strip clubs all the time.
Good for him.
I know.
Well, I mean,
well, it's not embarrassing for him. Why should you be embarrassed? Stop feeling sorry for yourself, Joe.
No. I just didn't think it was good to be...
I don't think it's a good idea.
Waking up still tied into my wheelchair on the ground.
That's a good look for it. I'm sure it's not the first nor the last time that's happened.
No.
Speaking of strip clubs, how about Matt Brown saying Allen Iverson used to routinely go into strip clubs and drop 30, 40 grand a night?
Dude. For whatever reason, that just doesn't shock me. I don't know why. I love the fact that comes from Matt Barnes, too. Like, Matt Barnes is from Del Paso Heights, like a neighborhood in Sacramento that's a hop, skip, and a jump from where I grew up. And, yeah, man, like, that just sounds like the most truthful statement.
Yeah, like Matt Barnes is some kind of angel.
Yeah, like, I think he was right there with him, and, you know.
Speaking of strip clubs, it'll be the last strip club talk for the next 15 minutes or so. I went, and when I was in Portland the other day, went to Portland for the first time, nice city, but we ended up wandering to a strip club in downtown. It was the oldest strip club in the United States.
All right.
Called Mary's. Some of the clientele included Courtney Love. Courtney Love used to strip there. Right. It was one of those great strip clubs where it's like a little stage and there's a jukebox on stage.
Fuck
yeah. And they go and the girls go and they pick up their dollars and they put the music in. And then in between songs, it's just this awkward silence where they're scrambling to pick up dollar bills and throw them in the and throw them in the jukebox. And we're just kind of sitting there. But it was fun. Portland was great.
Portland, huh? Didn't you tell me the MLS stadium was cool up there?
Yeah, it was right next to the hotel. And I went. That's a great school to play. Portland State. I'm trying to get some of my players to go out there. It's a 1AA or FCS school now, and they play there. That stadium is amazing. But if you want to watch soccer, are you a soccer fan, Joel?
I'm not. I'm
every 4 years the World Cup, you get your freaking vulu, whatever it's called, and blow it.
Yeah, I don't know about the thing you blow. I don't have that. But I like soccer. I'm more of a soccer fan than a hockey fan, I think. And I like the fact that a soccer game is over in 2 hours, and I think soccer reminds me more of, like, a bigger basketball game, so I like the strategy of it. and I could see myself becoming a soccer fan. And also there's an MLS minor league team in Sacramento, and they were up for MLS expansion this year. They didn't get it. They lost out to Minnesota, of all places. But I'm rooting for Sacramento to get an MLS team, and as soon as they do, I will be a soccer fan of the MLS. Really? Sacramento team. Yeah.
Oh, I don't. They don't deserve an NBA franchise.
Hey, fuck you.
They don't. They should move down to Anaheim, Orange County.
They already tried that.
I know that didn't work out.
I would have got season tickets if they did, but no. They got a new arena there. The mayor of Sacramento is Kevin Johnson.
Who raped little girls. You ever read any stories about Kevin Johnson?
There were several
incidents. You don't know anything about that?
You need to settle down. This guy's the mayor.
Are you just denying?
No, I'm just saying.
All right, enough of your fucking Sacramento minor league soccer talk. This is Hot Yads LA. This is a fucking football show. And we're not saying American football. It's a fucking football show.
Yeah. Fuck that whole American football thing, by the way. It's football.
Yeah, it's really. Football. I know. If you were that much offended, you wouldn't have gave it up and started calling it soccer. You would have just calling it football.
Yeah.
Speaking of blowing things, Jameis Winston. Oh, hey now. Dude, how about his lawyer coming out saying that Jameis Winston isn't ready for the NFL off the field? Talk about a red fucking flag. Are you kidding me? Your lawyer comes out and be like, no, he's really not ready, guys.
I think he might need a new lawyer.
Really? Lawyers like you, friends like you, who needs friends? Jesus Christ. I don't know. Something seems to be that Mariota all of a sudden in the last week or two is just rocking up. I've always been a big Mariota fan. I've gone on record on this show. Go back and look at the past episodes. But I do think Winston...
I'm not going to do that.
No, I do think Winston's going to be a stud.
I mean, all right, which thing do you want me to attack first, Mariota or Winston? Because I'm way more on the Mariota tip.
To attack Mariota?
No. Just, like, what do you want me to share my thoughts on first?
Either one, go, please. You're the guest.
So, Mariota, I think, has just been trained to be a winner, not only on the field like Winston is. Obviously, he's got a high winning percentage at Florida State, but I also think off the field, I think there's a certain element of education you get at Oregon being a Nike sponsored school of just this is how you act off the field, and I just think Mariota kind of has that, like coming through the way that the guy was raised pre Oregon and just, you know, before the accolades started happening. I think there's a toughness and a level of priority that guy has straight in his life that's going to serve him right in the pros.
Oh, sorry, that's my loon call.
Are you calling me a loon?
I think you're freaking wrong. Well, come on. Oregon's had the same types of problems. Look at LeGarrette Blount, just suspended for one game. You know, dropping that guy in the middle of there's plenty of Oregon players that have screwed up. What was it Colt Lera, the tight end there, the other guy who went on some kind of coke binge?
Okay, sure. So
it's his parents.
So you're right.
I've never seen Winston's parents, by the way. Have you?
No.
Is he a junior?
He had another year left.
No, is he a Jameis Winston Jr.?
I don't know.
Change his name like Melvin Upton.
Yeah.
BJ Upton's going to be able to hit because now his name's Melvin Upton.
I don't know. He did a pretty good job on the... Where's he at? He's in San Diego, right?
Yeah, with his brother.
I don't know. They did a pretty good job on the Giants this weekend. I mean, for whatever that's worth.
Speaking of San Diego, the financing for the stadium this week, if it doesn't happen this week, they're saying it's not going to happen.
So does that mean we're going to have the LA Chargers?
I don't know. That's what they're saying. I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm not convinced the L.A. Raiders is out of the question. I have nothing that...
Really, I do. I think they're not coming.
Is there hard evidence of that? Because I don't have hard evidence.
Hard yards, L.A. kid. Everything's freaking hard evidence. No hard evidence. What the fuck do I know? I don't know Mark Davis from Prince Valium. I don't know any evidence on that. But I do think the Rams are coming. They have to. With that whole land out there in Hollywood Park, which is a hike, by the way. I went to the airport for the first time in like 3 years the other day. It's so far away from where I live.
By the way, I'm just bummed that Hollywood Park's not there anymore. That was one of my favorite gambling spots in all of Los Angeles.
I still think it is there. I still think they have
They have the casino, but they don't have the track?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. They don't have the track, but I still think they could play cards up there. Matter of fact, I know you can. I was by there the other day, and a big sign said it was still open.
All right. So no track, but cards.
I don't know how that horse track couldn't be successful.
I don't know.
They had all types of shit up there.
That's a little bit outside my pay grade. I couldn't really check.
UNLV, speaking of new stadiums, UNLV's trying to put in a new stadium right by the Vegas Strip. You see this? They just bought a piece of land, 42 acres, for $50 million, and they're going to put a $500 million stadium. UNLV, of all places, is going to put a $500 million football stadium right by the Strip.
You know what? Here's what I'll say.
I still have a year of eligibility left. I can go back and play.
Dude, Ryan Revels were some of the coolest college basketball teams there ever was. Like Jerry Tarkanian forever. I mean, I know it's a football show, and you don't want me to talk about college basketball, but shit, like, come on, man. UNLV, dude. We're on Rebs.
He just died, right?
Huh?
Tarkanian just died.
Yeah, like maybe a couple months back, I feel like. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But Jerry Tarkanian forever, no less. But my point with the stadium, so many colleges and whatever kind of like pussyfoot around and kind of have this attitude of like student athlete first, this, that, or whatever. And they kind of just like, you know, overlook the fact that this is an enormous money making operation. And UNLV has a tremendous asset that not very many college campuses have in terms of its location. And I'm just glad that one of them is finally like taking advantage of that. You know what I mean? Like, St. John's and some of those New York schools, like, they have the garden, and they take advantage of that. But I feel like there's so much more that could be done in terms of, like, urban area, like, college athletics. Like, look at the stadium where USC plays. Look, and, you know, I mean, Galen Center's awesome, but their basketball team is garbage. Like, they could make way better facilities in downtown Los Angeles and just have, like, a way more top-notch, like, lights bright style program, even more than they have currently, and just make a shit ton of cash and kind of shit on everyone. And they don't. And, like, I don't know, the NCAA is what it is, and I say fuck yeah to UNLV for doing this.
If they pull it off. But the thing with UNLV, I think with basketball, you only have to convince 3 or 4 kids a year to go there. With football, you got to convince 40 kids a year to go there. And UNLV has no football background, although I had Icky Woods on this very program. Did you know that? I had Icky Woods as a guest on this show.
Sick. Did you drug him?
Big time. No. It was one of those things. I think I caught him before. You know, he's kind of had a renaissance here. You see him on commercials all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know why? This guy, hello. This guy broke him back out.
Son of a bitch.
It was one of those things. A friend of mine hit him up on Twitter, and his agent was like, yeah, sure. Okay, great.
Dude. Icky Woods, dude. My dad is from Cincinnati. Like, I have a ton of family out there. And I used to have a little mini Bengals football as a kid, and I used to do the Icky Shuffle in my house, dude, when I was, like, 4 years old.
Everybody did. Are you a Bengals fan for that reason?
No. I'm way more of a Raiders fan, but, I mean, the Bengals are always going to be there.
CBS, you said you read CBS. That's your website of choice. Even though ESPN, did you see what they've done to their website?
Yeah.
What the hell is that all about? Why?
I think they just want to make it more interactive with Twitter.
Is that what it is? You have to, like, follow certain teams, right?
Yeah.
Because I see the website and just plain Jane. I just was so used to the other website. Because the other website was like that for what? As long as I've known
you. Yeah, like 5 years, I feel like.
Oh, I would say longer than that. That's similar format. I would say closer to 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, they overhauled it. Look, one thing I will tell you, I don't know if I necessarily like the redesign of it or the, you know, the individual elements of the redesign, but I will give you this. ESPN has always been on the uptick with innovation. They were the first, broadcasting network to do the ticker on the bottom line. They were the first broadcasting organization to incorporate online streaming and whatever. And I don't know if the individual elements within this redesign are perfect or if I like everything, or hell, even for that matter, if they're going to keep everything. But I will give him a lot of credit for making it more innovative and just trying shit. And who knows? Like, they might move some shit around and do it a little bit differently. But the fact that they're doing it is cool to me.
Fuck them and their Disney money. No.
All right. Or there's that.
Or that. I was watching the Red Sox Yankees, unfortunately, right before I came in here, and that little strike zone that they're putting up there.
Yeah, fuck the strike zone.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Everything they do is gross. It's a necessary evil. You have to watch these fucking guys, and you have to watch Mel Kiper Jr.'s 6.0 draft. I'm done. There's no way I'm going to. I do not participate in mock drafts. Even though right before we went on air, I was like, oh, did you see PFD just did that mock draft? I don't know why Leonard Williams, everyone's so high up on that guy. I watched that guy play a lot of college football, and I think he's okay.
I don't think he's a 330-pound freak.
Like. I don't think he's a second pick in the draft good. I've watched him play 15 games.
Maybe not.
And he never stuck out like that to me.
Maybe not, but when you're going up against the second pick, a Jameis Winston whose lawyer tells you he's not ready for the NFL, that kind of lowers the bar of entry for a second pick. Like, you know, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying it's ideal that he's a second pick, but he might, you know what I mean?
Evidently, the people in Tennessee are in love with Zach Mettenberger.
Yeah.
They're calling him the poor man's Tom Brady, which is heresy to me. Speaking of Tom Brady, why is he going to be doing this shit? Why is he going to be jumping off cliffs? Why is he going to be... I don't even mind the jump...
I was wondering in my head how long it was going to be till we got off this.
Why? Okay, I don't mind him jumping off, even though I don't want to jump off the cliff. But it's playing hoops with Michael Jordan. Oh, are you kidding me? He's begging for an ACL injury or a busted up ankle. I guess you, Tom Brady, can do whatever the hell you want. He got that Uggs money, yo.
Look, man, when you're hanging out with Joselle, and where were they at? They were in Costa Rica, I reckon.
I think so.
When you're hanging out with Joselle in Costa Rica, and you're balling with Michael Jordan in Costa Rica, you're bound to do some weird shit. And, you know, he did some weird shit.
I guess.
Like, well, what do you want me to tell you?
It's not like he's Aqib Talib hanging out in Dallas with his brother and beating the shit out of some bouncers. You see that? Aqib Talib just can't stay out of trouble. He's got arrested over the weekend or last week for getting into a fight in Dallas. What is he even doing in Dallas? He's not even from there, is he?
No. Didn't he? Where did he go to?
Kansas.
Yeah. No, it doesn't make any sense.
In the brief rebirth of Kansas football about
Charlie
six
Weiss?
Or 7 years ago.
Was that Charlie Weiss?
No, it was the fat boy. What is the guy's name?
Eric. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I don't know his name either.
Russell Wilson's claiming he's not closing the door and playing baseball. Good. I hope he fucking plays baseball. How deluded is he? Does he really think that an NFL quarterback, the team, the Seahawks, would let him play baseball? It's like, you know, like he's a running back or a corner. You know, Bo Dion is kind of, hey, I'll show up when just tell me where the hole is. A quarterback? You kidding me? Fuck Russell Wilson. I can't stand him.
I mean, honestly.
Honestly. I want your honest opinion, Joe. You lose your train of thought.
No. I'm just trying to figure out the most succinct way to go about this. If you've got an opportunity to play baseball, you should do it. Like, you should just do it. If he could get a job playing pro baseball, the average salary of a major league baseball player is $4 million guaranteed per year. Guaranteed per year, $4 million. Okay? If you can get a job doing that, go ahead and do it. If he can pitch, if he can get a bullpen contract and get, you know, $12 million.
He's an infielder, isn't he? He's like a second baseman.
Sure, fine. If he wants to play second base, that's cool too. Like that actually takes less athleticism and talent. Like if he can really do it, I say do it. Like I was talking on another pod that I did this week.
About, he's a pod whore, huh?
Yeah, about Torii Hunter. He, you know, he's with the Twins now, but he had the ability to come out and get signed for a college scholarship playing football. And his reasoning was, look, I can play baseball for 20 years, and he basically has, or I can play football for 4 and get my brains beat in. I'm going to play baseball.
Pussy.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
But he's also rich.
Pussy.
Yeah, but he's
I wouldn't
rich.
Say it to his face. Oh, Mr. Hunter, very nice to meet you, sir.
Torii Hunter's one of the
great player.
I feel like also one of the classiest guys in the league. Like, he didn't have to go back to Minnesota this year and play with all those kids that are going to be, like, frankly horrible for another year or two. And he did.
Yeah, how much is he making? Like you said, at least $4 million a year. That's more money than you and I are going to make. Well, at least I'm going to make in my whole lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, I have aspirations, but correct there.
Yeah, we have aspirations as well, too. And I drink them away. I don't even want to talk about baseball. I went to the Dodgers-Angels preseason game. And I'm watching him. Like, do I really give a flying fuck about Cole Calhoun and his $4 million contract and the $13 I spent on a fucking beer at Dodger game? And you see these guys and the Red Sox hand out $20 million contracts like Pez. And I'm sitting there going, are you fucking kidding me? Do I really? Enough is enough, Joe Holt. I mean, you can't put in money to these guys. Look at Houston Astros, the most profitable franchise in the history of Major League Baseball. Do you know that?
Really?
Last year, for 1 year, they made more money than anyone else in the history of baseball. And they won, what, like 60 games? If that, they figured it out. The joke's on us. We're the fucking idiots. Oh, we're in a recession. The economy is crumbling. Yet these fucking retards are playing fucking baseball for $4 million a year.
And yet people still hate Bud Selig.
I hate Bud Selig. Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me, Joe. You turn this into a baseball show.
Hard yards. What do you got, buddy?
Hard balls. Although, speaking of which, I just watched a good documentary on Doc Ellis called No No.
I need to catch that.
You know, you know, familiar with Doc Ellis being the guy who threw a no-hitter on LSD.
What the fuck?
You didn't know that?
No.
He claimed, well, I pull up a video. He claims he threw a no-hitter in San Diego on LSD. He said he lost a day in time, and then he showed up, and he threw a no-hitter, and there's footage of it, and he was, like, throwing the ball on the ground. He hit, like, three guys and walked nine, but he gave up he had a no-hitter. But one of the things he was saying, and it was one of the things that was interesting about baseball in general and about your boy Bud Selig as well. They were on there talking about Dexamil.
What the hell's that?
Greenies.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
They were all, in the late 60s, early 70s, every Major League Baseball player was taking that shit. Yeah. And they're all saying it was like, talk about performance enhancement. They're like, everything was clear. You could stay up all night. You could do everything. And then they had one of the guys on there, I'm not even sure what his name was. He's like, you can't tell me that Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth and those guys we're going out drinking every night and playing those long day games without the help of doctors. You know they were pumping them up full of shit. Whatever the cutting-edge technology was at the time, they were pumping those guys up with that shit.
Yeah, sir.
My point is, why does everybody get so high money in the baseball world about steroids? It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And Bud Selig let it happen for, you know, 20 of his 30-year tenure.
Yeah.
Baseball.
If you ask me, everybody in let's take this a step further. I think sports equates to life a lot. You're a teacher. If there was a pill,
unfortunately,
if there's a pill you could take to make
my dick friggin' 12 inches long, I'd take it.
No, to make you a better teacher. If there was a pill legitimately to make you a better teacher, you'd fucking take the pill. Like, you'd fucking take the pill. Any job you have, I don't care what it is. If there's a pill you could take to make you better at your job, you take it. Yeah. And damn it, you should.
Especially back then when they had no idea what repercussions there would be.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, in my opinion, and this is not a popular one, like, instead of telling people not to take drugs in any sport, give them the drugs that will help them. Like, for example, if there's a drug to help prevent, like, concussions and CTE and all this shit going on in the NFL, maybe they should take it. You know what I mean? Or maybe they should make a pill for that. Maybe they should figure it the fuck out.
I think it's coming. I think those CTE pills for the head are coming. There's got to be a pharmaceutical out there that is working around the clock, trying to save the NFL with some kind of pill that's going to lessen the effect of CTE.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at
where the money's at.
You look at, like, I think basketball teams do this more, but I mean, I bet it's in other sports. But, like, they have all these, like, monitors in the stadiums now, like, talking about, you know, how far people run and how to best optimize a player's, you know, time spent on the court and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And all these monitors, like, why not, like, with those monitors, like, why not invent supplements, whether they're drugs or herbal or whatever the fuck they might be, to, like, actually help people get the most out of their bodies. Like, you don't, like, the average career span of an NFL player is 3 years. Like, we've seen it, like, in the past, like, month or two. Like, we've seen people that have had, like, one-year NFL careers just, like, be like, boop, I'm done. Like, many players have retired early or in their prime. Like, why not give, like, have some sort of supplement so if nothing else, they don't essentially kill themselves or get closer to it on the field.
You're going to see it. It's stuff like that takes time.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a guy like Chris Boylan, who just up and quit, which, you know, you got to respect it, obviously.
I have a problem saying that he quit. I think he retired. I mean, sure, he stopped playing, but I...
Semantics. I think he quit. I'm not saying I'm not calling him a pussy or anything, but I mean, I think he quit. I mean, he quit in the middle of a contract. It's a little different than me. I don't know. You can say it all you want, but now my problem is as a high school football coach, and I hear it all the time, and maybe it's because I'm the ornery old bastard than I am at this point. I hear kids using the word that they're retiring from football in high school. I don't know. I just think it gives them an easy out.
We've talked about this, and I don't want to get on it because this is Hard Yards LA, but like we've talked about this.
Thank you.
I think in the next...
Okay, continue. Okay.
In the next decade, I really do think you're going to see more people playing baseball and basketball than you are football.
Oh, please. You're saying the little soccer people, too. Soccer's the next up-and-coming thing. They've been saying that shit since 1978, Joe Holt. Give me a fucking break. No, and I don't think you're going to see people play. You see people play baseball here.
Because you can, yeah.
Because you can all year round. Although, one of the things I regret in mind, I was talking to my buddy this the other day, as little as 10 years ago, should have had the foresight to open up these indoor facilities in cities like Boston, these indoor baseball facilities, because they are all the rage. And I agree with you that you're going to see an uptick in baseball, but it's going to be with the rich white kid.
Yeah, totally.
The Dominican / Cuban. Because you're not seeing people organizing baseball games in the middle of the inner cities.
Well, like, may I just offside story here?
Sure, but it'd be good.
There's a pitcher from South Central by the name of Dylan Tate, who is now the ace of the staff at UC Santa Barbara, and they're currently ranked in the top 15 in the country. There's a lot of people in the college baseball world talking about them as a dark horse contender to go to Omaha this year, largely because of this Dylan Tate guy.
Black kid?
Yeah, who did a lot of his off-season training at the MLB Urban facility.
Where is that?
Out in Compton.
There is one?
Yeah, and this is the first one that's like really getting some juice, but from what I've seen on the internet and what I've heard people talk about Dylan Tate, he's one of the top pitching prospects coming out of college this year.
I didn't even know Major League Baseball had it. Is like an indoor facility? What is this deal?
It's an indoor and outdoor MLB-level training facility sponsored by MLB and the Urban Initiative out of Compton. Yeah.
Huh. They got to do something. The game is painfully boring. And I'm a baseball guy. I'd rather just read about it than watch it for 4 hours. How about the Red Sox-Yankees in like 7 hours? Of course, that was an aberration.
They did play two whole games, though.
They did.
Yeah.
Back to football, please.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you. Aaron Hernandez getting off. Kid, he's going to be found not guilty in the next couple days. I'm convinced.
Does that shock you?
A little bit. I'm convinced that they're going to... let him off. I think they stuck it on the other guys. They can't find the murder weapon. The gum is throwing everything off, that the gum is have DNA on the shells and all that shit.
If the glove doesn't fit.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Isn't it amazing how that OJ trial, you think back and how like just captivated a country. You were probably in high school at the time.
I was 8 years old.
I was in college, kid.
I might have been 10.
That just captivated.
94, was it? It was 94.
95. Well, the murder was 94.
Yeah.
But the trial was 95.
I remember the Bronco, the car chase.
Yeah, sure. Who doesn't? That was 94.
That happened
summer
in
94.
June of 94.
Sure.
In the middle of the Rockets and the Knicks NBA Finals.
Right, they did a 30 for 30 on
it. Yeah.
which I watched a little bit of it. I remember that night. That was like the first time in my life I was getting laid on a consistent basis.
Sick.
I was a senior in high school, and I was like, you know, I had a girlfriend that I was, you know, on a consistent, the first real consistent, you know, relations I was having. I remember that, watching that in bed. Oh, when I was 17, it was a very good year. It was a very good year.
Fuck yeah, buddy. The life and times.
Palomalu, out.
Out.
Done.
And 12 Dick LeBeau, too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I don't know why ESPN kind of just came out in this character, not character assassination, but talent assassination. Like, all these articles I read, Palomalu's not going to the Hall of Fame. Palomalu's not going to the Hall of Fame. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? Palomalu was awesome. But then I go and dig in a little deeper. For some reason, there's an NFL Hall of Fame bias against safeties. What the fuck? Safety's like the most important position in defense.
I think it's a natural hatred toward USC, but as a USC fan, I'm just, I don't know.
I don't think it has anything to do with his SC days. I think.
Yeah, it probably doesn't, but whatever.
80% of those writers and shit probably even know he, well, I guess they know. I just don't, what is wrong with me? I sit there and I read these freaking 3,000 word articles about why Troy Polamalu is not a Hall of Famer. Fuck that. If you watch him play the last 12 years, the guy's was a difference maker.
Yeah. I think injuries at the end, too, might have played a part in it. The other thing also, like, I feel like everything with the NFL, and especially in the offseason, these stories are like, three quarters contrived and, like, one quarter, like, elongated to make sure that there's never a fucking dull moment in the NFL news cycle.
I think society in general.
Yeah, and because of that, I think a lot of it is, like, irrational hate towards shit that, like, doesn't need to be hated on. And, I don't know. That's why I watch baseball, but Hard Yards L.A.
The Sean McCoy calling out Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly doesn't respect stars. The Sean McCoy reminds me of, like, Kanye West being like, George Bush doesn't like black people. I think he's doing the same thing with Chip Kelly. Like, Chip Kelly doesn't like stars. Are you fucking kidding me? They just went out and signed DeMarco Murray, and who else they signed, and I don't know. LeSean McCoy just seems like a freaking idiot to me. And him and Rex Ryan are going to be awesome next year.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
the Bills are going to be so fun to watch.
No, seriously, right? Like, I think the Bills are going to be fun because
they,
like,
need to be on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, actually, can I just say, like, Rex Ryan is one of my favorite NFL coaches, like, that there is, just because the guy is fun.
Yeah, really.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to go have a beer with that guy. Like, I don't know how good of a coach he is, but I'm just really interested in that dude and what he says. Like, we talk about the 24-hour news cycle of the NFL, and that guy keeps it going in a good way. So I don't know what the Bills are going to do. In terms of LeSean McCoy and his comments, I feel like the Eagles had a really good team last year, or like a pseudo good team, a team on the edge, and again like the year before that, and they kind of got rid of some questionable character guys. You know, they got rid of DeSean Jackson
2 years ago.
Yeah, they got rid of I don't know. There's a few other guys.
Well, Shady McCoy.
Yeah, and I just feel like,
but Riley Cooper hung in there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's a thing, too. Like, that could be a thing. But I think it's more just like a, you know, like, they fell a little bit short, and they're trying to get some character guys and get better around the edges.
Stability.
Yeah.
Got to be stable. Got to have a stable franchise. Yeah, Patriots have proven that time and time out. Stephen Ridley gone. Jets getting tattooed. New York Jets tattoo.
I don't know about all these tattoos.
I like Stephen Ridley. Stephen Ridley was a player. Too bad. But Patriots will plug someone else in.
You'll find somebody else for $500,000 and have Tom Brady throw the ball.
Running backs, I go back and forth on this. I do understand that running backs, you can find a lot of them. However, if you look at all the guys that ran for 2,000 yards in a season, like, there's what, six of them? I think five of the six are like top five draft choices.
Yeah, there's not that many.
So it's 10, and those six, they're all like top five picks. Eric Dickerson, Jamal Lewis, O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Who came in? Terrell Davis being an obvious exception. You know, Terrell Davis went to
He went to some school no one's ever heard of.
No, Terrell Davis?
Didn't he?
No, he went to Georgia.
Oh, I thought he was like a seventh-round pick.
He was, but he went to Georgia. He got hurt.
I beg your pardon.
But my point I was coming to, he went to Long Beach.
Long Beach?
Yeah, he went to Long Beach. He was a freshman. He was at Long Beach as a freshman under George Allen.
Fuck yeah.
The last year they had the program.
Dude, Beach.
Why can't, I don't know, that's another school. Why don't they can't they turn their programs around?
They have a good baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you don't want to talk about that.
Like it always comes back to college baseball, Joe. I go to the Long Beach State UCSB game every year with my buddy Matt and my friend Nick, who I just shouted out as well. And I mean, sure, they're not like they're not, you know, top of the line program, but they're good. Like
they should be good at basketball, is my point.
They should. Okay.
That court's cool for one.
Yeah, they need to revamp that stadium. That stadium needs a new sound system, like super bad.
There's no reason why they shouldn't have football. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
They got the best high school football program in their backyard.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? They don't take advantage of that. Poor management. They could come up with some kind of cool uniform, some kind of cool beach stadium.
I wonder if the reason Long Beach State, and this is just strictly pontificating, like the
Please pontificate.
The money that it takes to like get into football like really well, especially to be at a, you know, in a big time D1 conference, like that's going to take a big investment to get into.
$500 million for UNLV to make a stadium.
You're UNLV now.
Like, yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's hanging around at a state school in California right now.
How about TCU's new uniforms? You see those frog skin uniforms they just unveiled?
I didn't see the uniforms, but I didn't listen to it and hear the complaint from the coach. I didn't hear it as a complaint, as much of a breakdown of what he said. And I do support it. Like, I don't think they should have gotten left out. Even if Ohio State won it all, like, I get it that they also deserve to be in. But the NCAA needs to be way more transparent about what needs to happen and how you're going to get into these title situations that they contrive or the playoffs.
The Big 12 fucked themselves over by not having a championship game.
Sure, I'll give you that. But it was also stated that those championship games didn't matter. So,
that was stated?
Yeah. They said that the Big 12 would not be penalized for not having a championship game. And that's kind of my point. Like, if you're going to say that, like, you got to stick to that. And if it matters, if that's a thing, which I think it should be a thing. Like, win your fucking conference championship if you're going to be a top four team in the country, especially when you've got another team that would contend for that title and Baylor that had a point of contention at a point in time for this. Like, that's what I mean. Like, if it matters, make it matter. And, like, it's cool. Like, maybe it should matter. You know what I mean?
But TCU lost to Baylor.
Yeah.
Heads up. They had no business in there. Speaking of no business, how about freaking Hootie in the Blowfish, Darius Rucker, catching a touchdown pass in the South Carolina spring game? See that shit?
I didn't see it, but
spring football is in full force right now. This is the best, and the next 3 weeks is the best time of year. And there's two high points to me in the sporting year, week wise. Around the third week in October, you're in full
baseball.
Full World Series mode. You're in football season is right in its stride.
Yeah.
Basketball's hockey season just starting up.
Yeah.
And then right around now, you got the NFL draft. You got baseball starting up. You got basketball playoffs.
The cool thing about baseball is just there's a new game tomorrow. But basketball playoffs, before we get out of here, we got 10 minutes left. And you're from Boston. I'm a pretty big Celtics fan. You're probably a bigger Celtics fan just on proximity than I am. What
years, my friend. I lived the Bird era.
Do we think the Celts have a chance to beat Cleveland? Because I don't think that's out of the question.
To beat them in the series, I think is out of the question.
Out of the question.
You're just
immediately throwing it away.
Because of LeBron James.
Okay.
And the respect I have for that guy, I just don't think he's going to let them lose to the Celtics in the first round. That being said, I think the Celtics are solid 1-10, and I think they could take two games from Cleveland.
Yeah,
but I'd rather play them in Atlanta. I think they could beat Atlanta. Money ain't fucking crazy, but the Atlanta still.
I just think that Brad Stevens can outcoach David Blatt. I think Brad Stevens can outcoach David Blatt and therefore improve the score 8 to 10 points a game, and I think that gives him a chance to win every game in the series. Especially if Isaiah Thomas gets hot.
I'm really bullish on the Celtics right now. I think the Celtics, if they had this team right now the whole year, I think they'd be looking at a 3-4 seed.
Yeah, totally.
But there's no way. LeBron and Kyrie are just too much. Kyrie Irving is awesome.
You don't think Marcus Smart's going to give him trouble?
Give him trouble, but not enough to beat him in a 7-game series.
I think Marcus Smart might hit him.
I hope he hits him.
Like, might really hit him.
I hope he hits him. But no, I think Atlanta. I think they could bully Atlanta.
All right.
I don't think they could bully LeBron. LeBron will just go off and they might get to game 6 and LeBron's going to score 50.
That could happen.
Atlanta could easily, they're a jump shooting team. And all of a sudden, Atlanta just stops hitting their jump shots and the Celtics start smothering them on D. You know, take a couple games, all of a sudden, shit, you're in game 7.
Yeah. I think that could happen with the Cavs, but I get your point.
Lou Holtz out. Breaking news. My fucking phone, man. I got to get rid of these apps. I get breaking news that Tiger Woods is close to winning the Masters. Oh, he's close to winning the Masters.
By the way, if somebody else asks me about the Masters this week, I'm going to explode. I don't care who wins. I can't follow golf. You know how you said there's just too many sports and college basketball is out?
Yeah.
Golf is out for me.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Off that.
Terrible. Talk about a rich, like, spoiled freaking sport. And those guys aren't athletes. You cannot tell me Bubba Watson is an athlete.
You know how we talked about the K-zone being annoying in baseball? They need to put the little comet on the fucking golf ball. Like, you know how they did that in hockey back in the 90s or whatever?
On Fox, the little blue streak.
They need to put the comet in the golf ball, and I'll be okay. Like Tim Golden t-shirt. You know what I mean? Like,
I still got all types of things to talk about because you're sucking up my zeros and ones with talk of college baseballs and all this shit.
All right, sorry, 7 minutes.
Darrell Revis, Instagram hack.
What'd he do?
Somebody using Darrell Revis's Instagram account to telling Patriots fans my dick is bigger than yours and that I did Bill Belichick and Tom Brady a favor by even playing there. There's no way that was. But how do people hack Instagram accounts?
I don't know how to do that. That's above my pay grade.
I don't know how they do it either. But I thought that was fun.
I don't even have Instagram. Is that making a bad person?
That was a... No. But they say Instagram is where it's at these days.
That's where it's at?
Michael Bennett, running back from the Seahawks, still saying Jimmy Graham is overrated and he doesn't like him personally.
He's on the team.
Now he's on the squad. How's that going to freaking get off?
I think Coach Carroll's just going to work that out. I have complete faith in Coach Carroll. It's a fight on thing.
Yeah, I went to, so I was up in Portland and I wore like
15. Oh, yeah, tell me. Oh, go ahead. I thought you were going to tell me about the soccer stadium. Oh, we did that
already. I already talked about that. But I must have, honestly, and I'm not proud of it because I think it's a little bit creepy, but upwards of 15 Patriots shirts. You know what I mean?
Weird.
My mother, my mother for Christmas and my birthday is always 2, and I just keep them and never throw them away. Anyway, I wore those out poor, and I'm like, hey, Pacific Northwest, you know what I mean? I'm like, looking to engage people.
Being a dick.
You know, sticking my chest out. Nobody would engage me except one guy would engage me. And he's like, Seahawks are up and coming. The Patriots are going down. I'm like, first of all, they just fucking won the Super Bowl less than 2 months ago. Same area fucking going down. Second of all, they're the youngest team in the league. You do know they're the youngest team in the league. Third of all, Seahawks suck. Fuck you. But nobody would engage me.
You know, I wonder why.
I know. I wouldn't engage myself either because I got a wonky eye and a freaking stupid fucking red beard. And people are like, what is wrong with this fool?
Ginger.
And I just went up there and drank all types of craft beers. And
yeah, ginger.
I don't even like craft beer. Enough with the ginger shit, man. I didn't even know what ginger was until that South Park episode a few years back. I was just always a doughy, pale-faced, fucking redheaded guy. Now, all of a sudden, I'm a ginger. I'm going to change my... I got to change my my title. Oh, what else do I have? I wrote down all these draft busts, the biggest... draft bust from every team since 1990, but we got 5 minutes. Let me just cherry pick some names. But if you notice, all the teams that have sucked in the last 7 or 8 years is because they've missed big in the first round a couple times, you know? And I think that's why the Patriots, they're frustrating to watch during draft because they keep trading out, but they're hedging their bets.
Yeah.
They had, because on these teams, they went all in. Washington went all in on Heath Shula. Never been good since. Oakland went all in on Jamarcus Russell. Never been good since. Tennessee.
Also Darius Hayward Bay. Sorry.
Oh, they missed on a few.
Yeah. They missed quite often.
Jacksonville. No. That's all right. Jacksonville. Blaine Gabbert. Matt Jones. One of the worst fucking draft choices. He took a quarterback with a coke problem, trying to make him a receiver and draft him in the top 10.
I think that Blake Bortles guy is going to be good, though. I hope that gets them out of the hole.
I don't hope they do anything, but I think Blake Bortles is pretty good.
Yeah, I like that guy.
You know Teddy Bridgewater. Tampa Bay, Mark Barron, number 7 overall pick a couple years ago. Terrible.
Am I wrong to think that Jameis Winston is going to send somebody down that path?
Really?
Yeah.
That's a bold statement.
I don't like the guy.
Yeah, it's the thing about not liking him, the thing of freaking, he's really, really good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Tampa Bay is going to take him. I think they're going to be perennial 10-6 for the next 10 years. Get used to
but
it.
But I mean, here's my issue with that. Like, everybody that wasn't potential number one or, like, high draft pick was really fucking good in college. At some point, isn't there value in having your head screwed on straight?
Sure.
And, like, it's not like Tampa Bay has the infrastructure of, like, Pittsburgh or New England or one of those places that have a lot of continuity to be like, okay, kid, we drafted you. You're awesome. Now come over here and get your head on straight. You know what I mean? And I don't know if the organizations looking at Jameis Winston have the infrastructure to put him on the leash and maximize his talent.
I think an example of that is what happened with Menzel in Cleveland. Cleveland's a shit show of a franchise, and look what happened. Spun out of control. Yeah. I don't know. I just think Winston's got that certain je ne sais quoi, and I just think he's going to go up and he's going to throw freaking 35 touchdown passes, 20 of them to Mike Evans. I think Mike Evans is going to have a phenomenal season next year.
I don't think so. Not yet.
Not yet?
I don't buy. I just don't buy Jameis quite yet.
Yeah.
I'm just not quite. I'm not there. I'm taking somebody else with my number one.
Mariota?
I think so.
I need a quarterback.
I believe in that guy, dude. I just think he's tougher.
I would agree.
I think he's tougher. I think he's tougher. I think it's, you know what it is? It's with any of these first round high draft picks, I think the name of the game or what you're trying to do is eliminate variables. And I think Marcus Mariota just eliminates variables.
I agree with you. I think they're both going to be good. All right, last thing. CBS, all time team franchise football teams power rankings. Quick, give me who do you think the top three are all time?
Steelers?
Steelers 2.
New England?
New England 6. Give you one more guess and I'm going to give them out.
Cowboys.
Cowboys 1. I don't get that. Since they've only been around.
All right, so I got 1, 2, and 6.
Yeah. Since they've been around since 1960, I don't think the Cowboys should be number one.
Green Bay has got to be in there somewhere.
Dallas, Pittsburgh, San Fran, Oakland, Green Bay, New England, Washington, Miami, Minnesota, Denver. They put way too much emphasis on Hall of Famers. Because the Patriots only have like 10 Hall of Famers in their history. Although they got a shit ton coming up in the next few years. Go. You got something you want to say?
I think the Raiders have been perennially bad for like a really long time. And there's weight to that. I think sometimes though, because Al Davis kind of lost his mind in old age, people forget how innovative and how truly revolutionary he was to the game of football. And I think that gets lost in things now. And I don't know what I'm trying to say, but just don't. I would say don't judge Al Davis on the last 10 years.
No, well, we just talked about it. And the biggest thing they swung and missed on was Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah.
Jamarcus Russell, they put all their eggs. They went to the Super Bowl, 2003?
Yeah.
Bottomed out, which teams do, went all in on a guy that just completely fucked him over. And then he could never really settle in on his coaching situation.
Yeah, sure.
I've said many times I want to do an all Al Davis program. But not today.
Let me study. We can do
that. We have 7 seconds left. Joe Holt, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, I gotta come reciprocate and come on your show sometime.
Do it. Call in anytime, man.
No, I don't call in. I only do personal appearances. Right. That's it. Hot Yards LA. Follow us on Twitter at Hot Yards LA. Out. Later.